the bakers of Langendorf, that delicious bread for your every meal treat, invite you to visit for a while with that well-known collector of unusual stories, Art Gilmore.
Thank you. And I do have an unusual story for you. It's about a valley in Arizona that was known about 70 years ago as the Valley of Old Men. It was interesting how I ran across the story, too. You know, most everyone has some particular thing he likes to do, something that gives him an extra lift out of life. Well, I like to collect stories to tell you over the radio. Lately, I've been able to work my schedule around so I have an occasional long weekend off. That's when I jump in the car and make a trip somewhere, sightseeing and story hunting. Not long ago, I took a little jaunt to Phoenix to see an old friend of mine. I was driving across the hot Arizona desert just east of the little town of Buckeye when I noticed I was running low on gas. I kept my eye open for a service station. After a while, I saw one up ahead, baking in the sun. I pulled up beside a faded shack and stopped by the single gas pump. Wasn't anyone in sight either, and I was about to get out and look around when an old man came to the door. I couldn't help wonder about him. He was as warped and dried out as a dead cactus. He looked like pictures, you see, of the old-time prospector.
Wanna be, son? Fill her up?
Oh, sure. Fill her up and check my oil, too, will you, please?
Okie-dokie, son. Say, son, I got some cool water inside. Be careful for a drink. It's pretty hot out here in the sun, you know.
A few minutes later, my host and I were sitting in the comparative coolness of his one-room shack getting acquainted. From the very beginning, I had an idea he could tell me something about this part of Arizona I hadn't heard before. And I never miss out on the chance to get a good yarn if there's one to be had.
Oh, so you're Art Gilmore, the radio filler, eh? That's right, interesting now. I hear you on the air every once in a while. I ain't never been to Hollywood, though. Been living around here about 40 years.
Oh, you know the country pretty well, I suppose, huh?
Oh, darn tootin'. Know every rock and cactus by its first name. Even looked for gold up once up there in Rainbow Valley.
Oh, did you find any?
No. Say, if you're looking for an unusual story, though, I can sure tell you one about Rainbow Valley that's a dinger. True, too.
Well, I'd sure like to hear it if you've got time.
Time? Sure, I got time. Lots of it. Probably won't have no customer for a while anyway. Did you know that Rainbow Valley used to have the nickname of the Valley of Old Men?
Well, I listened to the story and took quite a few notes on it. Then when I got to Phoenix, I went to the library and checked up on some of the details. And strange as it might seem, the old boy had a true story, all right. And I'd like to tell it to you, just like I heard it that day at the little desert service station. I call it the Valley of Old Men. Now, before I get too involved in this story, though, I'd like to ask you a favor. You know, I've been with Mr. Langendorf and his bakeries for a long time now, and it's sure been swell. And I know that many of my present listeners have already heeded the wise words of advice and are using Langendorf bread. Everybody eats bread. It's just as natural as, well, as breathing. So, will you do something for me? Tomorrow, when you go down to the market or the store, you're going to buy bread anyway. Don't just pick up any loaf. Make sure it's Langendorf. You can tell it by the diamond shapes on the ends of the wrapper and by the big letters that spell out the name Langendorf. And I'll guarantee you'll be glad you did. In fact, Langendorf guarantees it as America's finest and will give you double your money back if you don't think so. Can't lose on that, can you? So make sure, won't you? You'll be doing both of us a favor. Now, let's get on with the story of the Valley of Old Men. Tex Rafferty, the bartender, looked up as the young man in Eastern Duds entered the Tucson Saloon and stepped up to the bar.
I didn't come in for a drink, but I'd sure appreciate some information. Do you know of a place around here called Rainbow Valley?
Oh, yeah, I know the place. Northwest of here, quite a piece. Pretty wild country.
The visitor took a begrimed envelope from his pocket.
I got a strange letter from my brother George just before I left Kansas City. It's got me worried. When he wrote it, he must have been awful drunk or awful crazy. Here, see what you make of it.
Rafferty read the scrawled handwriting. Dear Jim, I have not written you for almost 50 years, but I have been very busy with my new responsibilities here in beautiful Rainbow Valley. It's wonderful here. We wear very little clothing, for it's warm most of the time, and we don't do much work. I wish you would come out and join me for all eternity. We are thousands of years ahead of you back there in Kansas City. We of this world already have lived far beyond your time. Tomorrow is my birthday, and I will be 8,700 years old. Your brother, George Hodges. The bartender handed the letter back to Hodges.
He must have been crazy with the heat. You find him, I'd sure like to know about it. It's got me curious, too.
Hodges promised, and the bartender gave him directions for finding Rainbow Valley. During the next week, Rafferty could think of nothing but Rainbow Valley and its mystery. He remembered his friend, Lance Depew, who had gone there and had come out mad as a loon. He looked like an old man with long white hair and beard, though he was really young. Depew had refused to tell anyone about what had happened to give him the appearance of a patriarch. One night, as Rafferty was on his way home through a blinding dust storm, he bumped into a passerby. The stranger had long white whiskers and gray hair straggled from beneath a worn hat. Rafferty was sure he recognized the man.
Ain't you Jim Hodges?
The man nodded, then turned to leave.
But what's happened to you, son? You was going to tell me about the mystery of Rainbow Valley.
A gust of wind whipped a blinding cloud of dust into the faces of the two men, and when Rafferty was able to look up, Hodges was gone. Rafferty spent a sleepless night wondering about what had happened to Hodges and to his old friend Depew. The next morning, he set off across the desert, determined to find out what strange ordeal had aged the two men. When he reached the little village of Rainbow Valley, he inquired of the local postmaster whether or not any old men called for their mail there, and especially if he knew Hodges or Depew. The postmaster had heard of both of them and was able to furnish a small bit to the solution of the puzzle. A few old men did call occasionally for their mail, all from the same post office box. A man by the name of John Philip Carlin had signed for the box, explaining that it would serve several persons. Both Carlin and the old men had acted strangely, none of them saying a thing about where they came from. The postmaster went on to say that Carlin was a young man, not over 30, who told him he was settling on a ranch in Rainbow Valley and might prospect for gold up there. One of the villagers knew of some old men who lived like hermits somewhere up in the hills. Everyone Rafferty talked with seemed to think the end of his quest lay somewhere in the Maricopa Mountains, but nobody could show him a trail that led into the valley. Rafferty left the village at daylight and rode up into the hills. Rafferty was a determined man, and after days of searching, he came upon a faint trail which led him into a small valley. Rounding a bend, he came suddenly upon a cluster of adobe houses. The place was quiet and looked deserted. He dismounted and approached one of the huts. It was then he knew that his every move must have been watched. Two gray-haired men appeared in one of the doorways, silent and unmoving. The bartender smiled at the waiting men.
Howdy. I lost my way up there in the hills and wandered in here. Can you tell me the best way to get to the town of Rainbow Valley?
The men remained silent. Then Rafferty noted that they were only old from the shoulders up. They had long white hair and beards, but their bare bodies and arms were well-shaped and muscular. He knew now that he was getting deep into the mystery of the Valley of Old Men. Rafferty was still trying to start a conversation when a tall, red-faced young man pushed his way to the door.
Who are you, and what do you want here?
I'm John Smith. I was told some time ago that two friends of mine, Jim Hodges and Lance Depew, were up here somewhere prospecting. I thought I'd pay him a visit. Looks like I got lost.
I'll see if you're lying, stranger. Connie, bring Jim Hodges here.
One of the men disappeared into the house, returning in a couple of minutes, accompanied by Hodges. The man Rafferty had met in Tucson had a faint look of recognition as he answered the question of the young spokesman.
Yes, I know him slightly. He's a bartender from Tucson. What does he want here?
After Rafferty had recounted his story, Hodges shook his head sadly.
Depew left here some time ago, and we don't know where he went. And I certainly never invited you to come here to see me. Carlin, we'll either have to send this man away at once or make him one of us.
Rafferty had guessed right. The tall young man was the elusive and mysterious John Philip Carlin. A smile spread across Carlin's sunburned face.
Hodges is right, Mr. Smith, but I don't want to send you away without your sampling our hospitality. You can spend the night here, and I'll show you a shortcut out of the valley in the morning.
Rafferty was elated over the invitation, for it would give him a chance to look around. During supper, the white-haired men were silent as mutes, and Rafferty and his host carried on a conversation both men hoped would settle several questions. After the meal was over, a Mexican serving girl brought in a steaming cup full of coffee for each of the men. Rafferty didn't care for the coffee, but he drank it to be polite, even though he noted a very peculiar taste. A short time later, the doped coffee had dropped him out of the conversation altogether. He awoke the next morning in a crude canvas-covered hut with a mattress of leaves for a bed. While he was rising drowsily to his feet, Hodges entered the shelter.
King Daniel wants to see you.
The eyes of the white-haired men held a wild, mad gleam as he helped Rafferty to his feet.
Carlin is called King Daniel here. I am called Michel. Come with me.
Carlin seemed to be in a jovial mood.
I hope you had a good sleep last night, and I wonder if you wouldn't like to spend some more time with us. I'm sure you'd enjoy life here in the House of Daniel.
Rafferty was filled with a blissful lethargy. Everything was so peaceful, and the speech of his host was so kind, so persuasive. He found himself accepting Carlin's invitation. The overlord of the valley explained the life and duties of the members of the House of Daniel. Each member of the colony had special duties to perform, and all the money the men possessed was turned over to Carlin. That afternoon, Rafferty cut firewood as diligently as though he had really become a neophyte of this strange cult. At supper time, as he prepared to wash up, he looked into the mirror of the washroom and stared in amazement. His hair and his whiskers were white. He had suddenly become an old man. I'll tell you how this strange story ends in just a moment. But first, I'd like to slip in a word here from my good sponsor, Langendorf. You know, sort of a reminder that you have a date tomorrow. To do me a favor, and you one too. Just pick up a loaf of Langendorf bread at the store. Now, I know you'll be buying bread, especially if it goes as fast as it does around our house. And the reason for its sudden disappearance around so many homes is that it's a doggone good. I know, too, you'll agree, and thank me for telling you about this wonderful product. So make sure of the best. Pick up the loaf with the diamond design on the end of the wrapper and double-check yourself with the letters that spell Langendorf, and you'll be guaranteed America's finest bread. In fact, Langendorf will give you double your money back if you don't agree. What a deal that is. So, for goodness sake, get Langendorf. It'll make us both happy. Now, let's get on with the story. Carlin explained more about the House of Daniel while Rafferty, still worried over his weird transformation, was having a cup of the strong, bitter coffee that he had found a sudden craving for. Carlin told the newcomer that here in the valley, time was reckoned by days instead of years. Each day was a calendar year, and the men observed them as such. The white beard and hair symbolized their advanced age. Only Carlin, or King Daniel, was ageless in this incredible valley. As the days wore on, Rafferty's memory dimmed, and soon he could remember little of the world he had left. His concern over his gray hair died away. Then one afternoon, while Carlin was away, Indian Mary, the cook, called him into the kitchen. The old woman revealed that there was a drug in the nightly coffee that had dulled the senses until the men were little more than robots guided by the mad power of Carlin. She had gradually reduced the doses Rafferty was taking so his mind would become clear again. She begged him to rescue her from the valley, for she was deathly afraid of her master. A few days later, Rafferty, now playing the part of a crazed man, was sent into the village for the mail. This was his chance to escape, and he took it. He headed for Phoenix, where he told his almost unbelievable story to the United States Marshal. Rafferty, the Marshal, and a group of deputies descended upon the House of Daniel, and Carlin's kingdom crashed like a castle of cards. You know, there are two great mysteries of Rainbow Valley that were never solved. The disappearance of Depew and the analysis of a strange drug that aged young men and turned them into willing slaves. That's the way I heard the story from the old men out at the little desert service station. Oh, yes, I also found out that the men who were saved from the House of Daniel got over their craving for the strange drug and were able to return to their normal lives. I drove up to Rainbow Valley and found nothing there but a few old houses. They told me the post office had been moved to Liberty, just in case you ever drive up into that part of the country. Oh, yes, I had a cup of coffee while I was there, and it didn't turn my hair white. Well, that ends my experience in the Valley of Old Men, and I filed in my collection of stories that I hope to publish someday. It's getting to be quite a collection, too. I certainly hope you can join me again real soon. Goodbye.
Thank you, Art. Folks, the bakers of Langendorf bread have presented their well-known collector of yarns and tellers of stories, Art Gilmore, who will be back at the same time on Wednesday. Join us then, won't you? Good night.